Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas and Epiphany sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll thank you with a CD of one of Todd's Christmas and Epiphany sermons.
This is a constitutional question. If every decision was left up to the voters, you wouldn't need a constitution. No vote can take away fundamental rights.
God looks upon your lifestyle as wicked and perverted.
There is no harm to gay marriage. It's not going to harm the institution. It's not pushing an agenda. The protections and the rights associated with marriage benefit us, and it only benefits the institution if we're part of it.
What's at stake here is whether millions of California voters and people in other states, 30 other states have similar constitutional amendments, can make the public policy choice that marriage is defined as one man and one woman.
Voices on both sides of the issue outside the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals yesterday and today. They are weighing the constitutionality of, well, what is essentially the will of the electorate in California over the issue of gay marriage. That's how they got Prop 8. Prop 8 was a referendum. It was voted for by a majority of the voters in California. It effectively constitutionally banned same-sex marriage in that state. It is being challenged as unconstitutional at the federal level. And if that is overturned, it will, in effect, overturn all laws and state constitutional amendments against same-sex marriage in one fell swoop. I'm Todd Wilkin. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in live this Tuesday afternoon, December the 7th. We'll kick off this hour talking with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, getting a report on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals hearings that were held yesterday and today. A little bit later, we're going to be remembering, along with the rest of the church, on this December 7th, the 4th century Bishop of Milan. He was also a hymn writer and a theologian of no small repute, Ambrose of Milan. Pastor David J. Weber will be our guest. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. or send us a tweet at IssuesETC. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is a regular guest. She's founder and president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. And she joins us after having sat in at least the last 2 days witnessing what's going on in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and Prop 8. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. I'm doing great. I'm on the highway. I'm on Highway 5 headed home to San Diego after being up in the courtroom yesterday. And it was quite a scene, actually, up there.
Okay, tell us exactly what you've been seeing in that courtroom.
Well, you know, there's the sights and sounds outside the courtroom, which is probably what you heard on your news report there. There were kind of crazies on both sides out on the sidewalk, and that's, of course, the color that all the TV people want to have. But inside the courtroom, of course, it was very serious business, and a lot of gravitas there, you know, inside a big federal court building designed to give you the sense of solidity and permanence and majesty of the law. Unfortunately, the law has become kind of the something that can be changed at the whim of a judge, and so that solidity is kind of we're losing it, you might say. But what we had was a panel of three judges from the Ninth Circuit, one of them, the senior judge of the Ninth Circuit on this panel, is Judge Stephen Reinhardt, who is notoriously one of the most overturned justices in the federal judiciary. The Supreme Court seems to enjoy overturning him. So in a way, it may be to our advantage that we have him as the senior person on this panel. So what you saw was the attorneys for the two sides going up and trying to make their arguments, and almost immediately being interrupted by one or the other justices. I had never been in a federal courtroom before, and so I wasn't prepared for that. At first, I thought, gosh, they're being rude to our guy, because our guy went first, Chuck Cooper. But in fact, that's what they do to everybody. That's just how it is. You know, they're just chiming in, and if you get 30 seconds of your argument in, you're doing good. So that's the kind of the first thing that stood out to me of just being in that whole experience of the federal courtroom.
How does it appear to be? I mean, obviously, until a verdict is rendered here or a judgment is made, no one knows for sure. But how does it appear to be going argument-wise?
Well, you know, they spent a lot of time on the issue of standing. That is the question of whether anybody has the right to appeal Judge Walker's decision. And so the two people who are trying to appeal are, number one, the proponents of Proposition 8, and then, number two, one of the counties of California. The assistant county clerk said that Prop 8 affected her and the performance of her duties, and so she wants to appeal Judge Walker's ruling overturning Prop 8. So the first part of the proceedings was really about the question of whether anybody has the right to appeal. And that kind of went by over my head, a lot of it. I have to say, you know, there seemed to be a lot of what to me seemed like a lot of hair splitting. But talking to people afterwards, I think the impression that I got from the attorneys, John Eastman and Jordan Lawrence of the Alliance Defense Fund, those kind of guys, they basically said that they believe Judge Reinhart is going to give people standing to sue because they think Judge Reinhart wants to write this opinion. That Judge Reinhart wants this to be his swan song before he retires from the Ninth Circuit. And so if that's the case, it's anybody's guess what he'll write. I mean, I think we can be sure he'll overturn Prop 8. But then the question is, on what grounds will he overturn Prop 8? So those are some of the things that were kind of popping in the courtroom yesterday.
Jennifer, talk about what the proponents of Prop 8 are arguing there before the Ninth Circuit.
Well, we're arguing that we have standing to be there in the first place. That's obviously important. But then they're also arguing that that the people of California had a rational basis for saying that marriage should be between a man and a woman. In a sense, you could say the voters of California are on trial here. Ted Olson, for example, our opponent on this, repeatedly said that there's absolutely no reason that anybody could be in favor of man-woman marriage except for animus against gays. The city attorney of San Francisco said the same thing. You know, so really the voters of California and by extension the voters across the country who have said yes to man-woman marriage, we're all on trial. So what Chuck Cooper, the lead attorney for our side, tried to do was to say, look, there's plenty of rational basis for the male-female requirement within marriage, the most important being that it provides for responsible procreation and provides a context for kids to be raised by their mother and their father. He got interrupted a couple of times by the judges on the bench. Judge Reinhart says, well, that sounds like an argument against divorce, ha, 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 and everybody laughed. But in fact, I think that is the right argument, or some variant of it has got to be made and has got to prevail, or we're all going to be in a lot of trouble.
When we come back, we'll spend some more time with Dr. Jennifer Obag Morse. We're getting a report on what's been happening in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in California as they consider the constitutionality of Prop 8 banning same-sex marriage in California. Dr. Jennifer Obag Morse is founder and president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. We'll spend just a few more minutes with her on the other side of the break, tying up some loose strings, and then we'll be talking about 4th century bishop, hymn writer, theologian Ambrose of Milan, Pastor David J. Weber, will be our guest to talk about this man that has contributed so much to the life of the church all the way back from the 4th century. Pastor Weber, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Scottsdale, Arizona. That's coming up a few minutes here on Issues, Etc. When we come back, what lies ahead if this Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals decides to hear this case? They haven't yet. If they decide to hear this case, that someone has standing to bring it to them, and they in fact uphold Judge Von Walker's decision on Prop 8, where do we go from there? We'll be right back.
All
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. IssuesETC.org.
Hey, St. Louis listeners. Our local affiliate, AM 1320 Bot Radio Network, lowers its signal power at 445 until the end of the year. But you can still listen to Issues Etc. full power at IssuesETC.org. Old theology, new technology, IssuesETC.org. Listen to what you want, when you want. Issues Etc.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is our guest. We're getting a report on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals as it considers Prop 8 banning same-sex marriage in California. Jennifer, one of the things you wrote about was an interchange between Judge Smith and one of the attorneys, Cooper, where he asks, and I think this must be significant, what is the rational basis for having a ballot initiative for the word marriage when the state of California already allows homosexual couples to become parents? How did Cooper answer, and what does that mean to you?
Well, what Cooper said was he said that the word is the institution. He said what we're fighting for here is not simply the symbolism of a word, but for the institution of marriage, that you have some place in society, some institutional structure that attaches mothers and fathers to their children and to one another, which domestic partnership can exist for all kinds of purposes. And that if we allow marriage to just disappear, or if we allow the procreative aspect of marriage to drop off the list of publicly affirmed purposes of marriage, we've really lost something of tremendous value. And so I don't know whether Judge Smith bought that, but that's what Cooper said, and I think Cooper's right. Now, one of the interesting things happening here, Todd, and I would encourage your readers and listeners to go to the ruthblog.org and keep an eye on my commentary about this, because there's a lot of analysis coming in about here on this. And some of my legal friends have the idea that Reinhart wants to overturn Prop 8, but on a narrow basis that wouldn't touch everybody else's constitutional amendments. They think he's looking for a way to be the hero and overturn Prop 8 and you know, ride off into the sunset on a white horse without creating the kind of social chaos that would ensue if he overturns 30 other states' constitutional amendments. So look for some analysis about that point, both on my blog and other places. That, I think, is going to be a significant a possible direction that this case could go. It never would have entered my mind if I hadn't been sitting in that court and if I hadn't been listening to my lawyer friends who are there. So I'm happy to bring that kind of commentary to your listeners.
Kathy is listening in St. Charles, Missouri. Hi, Kathy. What's your question for Dr. Morse?
Yeah, the question I had, California instrumental in the no-fault divorce, And then the connection between that and where we're at today with this, looking at this as something we'll actually make a law. I do think that this homosexual marriage and all that really connects very much with this no-fault divorce.
Kathy, thank you very much. Jennifer, your thoughts there with about a minute?
Yeah, my thought about that is that no-fault divorce was the first really big radical redefinition of marriage because it took away the presumption at law that marriage is a permanent state. And the presumption instead of the presumption in favor of the person who wants to stay married, the presumption now is in favor of the person who wants to get divorced. So that was really a major thing. And without that, I think that your listener's quite correct, Kathy. I think you're right. That without having done that, I don't think we'd be seeing any kind of conversation for same-sex marriage today. And let me say one other thing, Todd. The idea that we are trying to, quote-unquote, ban same-sex marriage, I don't use that terminology. The way I put it is that we are trying to affirm the definition of natural marriage. And yes, it's true that that means we would not have same-sex couples getting married. But we really believe that the burden of proof is on the other people to show why nothing bad is going to happen by redefining the institution of marriage. And if you look at how this case is shaped up over the months and years now that we've been arguing about it, the other side has continually tried to shift the burden of proof onto us so that we have to prove that there's something wrong with changing the institution of marriage. Well, really, the burden should be on them to show why the thing that has existed forever has absolutely got to be swept away. The burden of proof should be on them, not on us. And so I think it's important to keep that distinction, that we're in favor of natural marriage, marriage as it's always been. We're not banning anything or taking anything away from anybody.
Folks, you can stay informed on the legal battle over California's same-sex marriage proposition under the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen On Demand. Look for the website and the blog for the Ruth Institute. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder and president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. And she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jen, thank you. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks very much, Todd. Bye.